Her hand runs up her body from thigh to breast, a gesture of presentation, as if she were demonstrating a new product. Red silk scarves over the lamp in the corner of the room make the light red. The man looks at her hungrily, then he takes the candle from her and pushes it into the candle holder.
You got a light?
She passes him a book of matches. He tears off a match, lights the wick. It flickers and then burns with a steady flame, which gives the illusion of motion to the faceless statue beside it, all hips and breasts.
Put the money beneath the statue.
$50.
Yes.
When I saw you first on Sunset, I almost thought you were a man.
But I have these.
She says, unknotting the yellow blouse, freeing her breasts.
So do a lot of guys these days.
She stretches and smiles.
Yes. Now come love me.
He unbuttons his blue jeans and removes his olive t-shirt. She massages his white shoulders with her brown fingers. Then she turns him over and begins to make love to him with her hands and her fingers and her tongue. It seems to him that the lights in the red room have been dimmed, and the sole illumination comes from the candle, which burns with a bright flame.
What's your name?
Bilquis, with a Q.
A what?
Never mind.
Let me fuck you. I have to fuck you.
Okay, hon, we'll do it. But will you do something for me while you're doing it?
Hey, I'm paying you, you know.
She straddles him in one smooth movement, whispering,
I know, honey, I know you're paying me. And I mean, look at you. I should be paying you. I'm so lucky.
He purses his lips, trying to show that her hooker talk is having no effect on him. He can't be taken. That she's a street whore, for Christ's sakes, while he's practically a producer, and he knows all about last-minute rip-offs, but she doesn't ask for money. Instead, she says,
Honey, while you're giving it to me, while you're pushing that big, hard thing inside of me, will you worship me?
Will I what?
She is rocking back and forth on him. The engorged head of his penis is being rubbed against the wet lips of her vulva.
Will you call me goddess? Will you pray to me? Will you worship me with your body?
He smiles. Is that what she wants?
Sure.
We've all got our kinks at the end of the day. She reaches her hand between her legs and slips him inside her.
Is that good? Is it, goddess?
He asks, gasping.
Worship me, honey.
Says Bilquis, the hooker.
Yes. I worship your breasts and your eyes and your cunt. I worship your thighs and your eyes and your cherry red lips.
Yes.
I worship your nipples from which the milk of life flows. Your kiss is honey, and your touch scorches like fire, and I worship it.
His words are becoming more rhythmic now, keeping pace with the thrust and roll of their bodies.
Bring me your lust in the morning, and bring me relief and your blessing in the evening. Let me walk in dark places unharmed, and let me come to you once more and sleep beside you and make love with you again. I worship you with everything that is within me and everything inside my mind, with everywhere I've been and my dreams and my...
He breaks off, panting for breath.
What are you doing? That feels amazing. So amazing.
And he looks down at his hips, at the place where the two of them conjoin, but her forefinger touches his chin and pushes his head back, so he is looking only at her face and at the ceiling once again.
Keep talking, honey. Don't stop. Doesn't it feel good?
It feels better than anything has ever felt.
He tells her, meaning it.
Your eyes are stars, burning in the shit, in the firmament, and your lips are gentle waves that lick the sand, and I worship them.
And now he's thrusting deeper and deeper inside her. He feels electric, as if his whole lower body has become sexually charged, priapic, engorged, blissful.
Bring me your gift.
He mutters, no longer knowing what he is saying.
Your one true gift, and make me always this, always so, I pray, I...
And then the pleasure crests into orgasm, blasting his mind into void, his head and self and entire beingness a perfect blank as he thrusts deeper into her and deeper still. Eyes closed, spasming, he luxuriates in the moment. And then he feels a lurch, and it seems to him that he is hanging head down, although the pleasure continues. He opens his eyes. He thinks, grasping for thought and reason again, of birth, and wonders, without fear, in a moment of perfect post-coital clarity, whether what he sees is some kind of illusion. This is what he sees. He is inside her to the chest, and as he stares at this in disbelief and wonder, she rests both hands upon his shoulders and puts gentle pressure on his body. He slip-slides further inside her.
How are you doing this to me?
He asks, or thinks he asks, but perhaps it is only in his head.
You're doing it, honey.
He feels the lips of her vulva tight around his upper chest and back, constricting and enveloping him. He wonders what this would look like to somebody watching them. He wonders why he is not scared. And then he knows.
I worship you with my body,
he whispers, as she pushes him inside her. Her labia pulls slickly across his face, and his eyes slip into darkness. She stretches on the bed like a huge cat, and then she yawns.
Yes, you do.
The Nokia phone plays a high electrical transposition of the Ode to Joy. She picks it up and thumbs a key and puts the telephone to her ear. Her belly is flat, her labia small and closed. A sheen of sweat glistens on her forehead and on her upper lip.
Yeah?
She says.
No, honey, he's not here. He's gone away.
She turns the telephone off before she flops out on the bed in the dark red room. Then she stretches once more, and she closes her eyes, and she sleeps. Chapter 2 They took her to the cemetery, in a big old Cadillac. They took her to the cemetery, but they did not bring her back. Old song.
I have taken the liberty,
said Mr. Wednesday, washing his hands in the men's room of Jack's Crocodile Bar.
Of ordering food for myself to be delivered to your table. We have much to discuss, after all.
I don't think so.
He dried his own hands on a paper towel and crumpled it and dropped it into the bin.
You need a job. People don't hire ex-cons. You folk make them uncomfortable.
I have a job waiting. A good job.
Would that be the job at the Muscle Farm?
Maybe.
Nope, you don't. Robbie Burton's dead. Without him, the Muscle Farm's dead, too.
You're a liar.
Of course, and a good one. The best you will ever meet. But I'm afraid I'm not lying to you about this.
He reached into his pocket, produced a newspaper, much folded, and handed it to Shadow.
Page 7. Come on back to the bar. You can read it at the table.
Shadow pushed open the door back into the bar. The air was blue with smoke, and the Dixie Cups were on the jukebox singing Ico Ico. Shadow smiled slightly in recognition of the old children's song. The barman pointed to a table in the corner. There was a bowl of chili and a burger at one side of the table, a rare steak and a bowl of fries laid in the place across from it. Look at my king all dressed in red, Ico Ico all day. I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Giacomo Fina Ne. Shadow took his seat at the table. He put the newspaper down.
I got out of prison this morning,
he said.
This is my first meal as a free man. You won't object if I wait until after I've eaten to read you page 7.
Not in the slightest bit.
Shadow ate his hamburger. It was better than prison hamburgers. The chili was good, but he decided, after a couple of mouthfuls, not the best in the state. Laura made a great chili. She used lean-cut meat, dark kidney beans, carrots cut small, a bottle or so of dark beer, and freshly sliced hot peppers. She would let the chili cook for a while, then add red wine, lemon juice, and a pinch of fresh dill, and finally measure out and add her chili powders. On more than one occasion, Shadow had tried to get her to show him how she made it. He would watch everything she did, from slicing the onions and dropping them into the olive oil at the bottom of the pot on. He had even written down the sequence of events, ingredient by ingredient, and he had once made Laura's chili for himself on a weekend when she had been out of town. It had tasted okay. It was certainly edible, and he ate it, but it had not been Laura's chili.